Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a God is in the TV recommend show. This is part two, and I'm talking to Jim Orton.
Okay, we're going to go for a lesser-known band now, who picked up on, who've just got an album out, I believe, or coming out shortly, and they're called Milk Belly, and this is LCR. Milk Belly with LCR, and they're from Chicago. What do you think of that one, Jim?
Yeah, I really like that one. That was very 90s kind of DIY. It's almost like you thought it might be something that came straight out of, what have I written here? US teenage coming of age movie. Sort of one of those things.
Well, I was just listening now, I was thinking The Breeders as well, actually.
Yes. Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. That would make sense to Kim Deal. I like that. I sort of, again, the vocal sort of did remind me of Ellie Rosal from Wolf Alice.
Okay.
They double track it. So it does have a similar thing going on about it. I really like the drums. The drums is one of the best things for me.
Yeah.
That was insane.
I put frenetic jazzy drums.
Jazzy.
I know. I don't know why I put that. I suppose it's just because they're kind of like a bit off the wall, aren't they? They're not like a straight 4-4 rhythm. They're
kind of like offbeat, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of off kilter kind of stuff. But really good. And kind of unexpectedly. And it was one of those tracks I heard, listened to it. I thought, oh, that's good. I'll put that down, you know, as maybe I kind of like things on SoundCloud, you know, and then go back to them. And I went back to that one. I was like, it just stuck with me. And I just kept thinking, oh, I like that. And I'll come back to it. And it kind of was an earworm, isn't it? Almost. Because it's got that kind of like seesawing art rock, college rock thing.
What did LCR stand for?
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got anything about what it's about or anything. All I've got is the it was recorded. Singer and chief axe wielder Miranda files out a barrage of menacing riffs, which weave around a backdrop of unsettling time-bending drums. So, actually, it says here, Melkbelly's second offering inspiration comes from the start and end of life in the form of her pregnancy. So she must have been sort of... and around the recording of the death of a close friend. So it's kind of like an emotional time, you know. And I guess you get that with that kind of like frenetic kind of uncertain feeling, don't you, with it?
Yeah, it's on edge, isn't it? Yeah.
It's kind of shouty, but also got that melody coming through it as well. Mm. So what we give them in this one, Jim, it's from their album Pith, which is out on Wax 9 on the 24th of April.
A healthy 7.5.
Well, obviously I'm giving it 8 again. I see a pattern emerging. So what are we rounding that down to? About 7?
It's one of those things, isn't it? When you're reviewing things, and you sort of think to yourself, what am I going to give this? Because is it good enough to be like 8, 9, you know, 9
yeah,
out of 10?
Yeah, that's right.
And then, but is anything less than a 7 sound insulting? It's like, see, say 6, it goes, oh, 6, that doesn't sound very good. The 7 is like, fair enough, 7, I will take that. But even though 5 still mean it's average and you don't mind it, but it sounds crap.
That's actually the hardest thing to write about is things that are sort of ho-hum and in the middle, aren't they?
Yeah. They're
the hardest to write about, which is why I tend to write about things I either really love or really despise, you know?
Well, that's it, isn't it?
The reality is most music is in the middle, isn't it? Let's be honest.
It is, you know? Really, yeah.
Most music is in the middle.
Wanting to sort of spout lyrical about something that's brilliant or something that's dreadful.
That's right.
Because if you start writing about something that's ho-hum, you're kind of like... Yeah. Right, I've done 300 words. What else am I going to say about this?
That's probably why most of the stuff we cover is stuff that people like. So, you know,
yeah,
that's the way it goes. Isn't
or
it?
Hate.
Yeah, or hate. I remember I did a review of Royal Blood and I absolutely savaged them. I said they were like a pub band, a glorified pub band with a big, big budget, big overproduced pub band. And I got a load of, attacks for that. But that's my opinion, you know. So
fair enough. I think their first album's great, but I wasn't.
I just think they just, you know, it's music's subjective though, isn't it? It's like the Blossoms thing as well. It's like I don't like them, but other people like them, and that's cool. You know, if they like them, fair enough. I just don't like them, and it's what they represent as well. It's like that kind of, you know, that kind of band who are on a major label trying to do indie, or they think what's indie, and it's pop really, but they don't want to admit that, you know. So it's like. It's kind of a hypocrisy in that, you know.
They want to look cool with their long hair and their
But there's a kind of a fake to it, isn't there? There's kind of a fake to it. Anyway, moving on. What's your next choice? Can we have a bit of Buzzard, Buzzard, Buzzard?
I was going to say, that's literally cued. So, yeah, Buzzard, Buzzard, Buzzard. John Lennon is my Jesus Christ.
Thank you. So that was Buzzard, Buzzard, Buzzard from Cardiff, who were a buzz band.
A buzz, buzz, buzz band.
We need sound effects, really, don't we, as well?
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Just a drum kit in the corner.
Ba-doom. Or, like, kind of. And, yeah, they're the project, the studio project of Tom Rees, the singer and producer as well, he is. Yeah, I saw them a few years ago in Cardiff Music Awards.
They won a
Well, no, actually, it was the Welsh Music Prize, and they did, like, a little showcase of, like, up-and-coming Welsh bands. Last year it was. And it was them, Adwaith, and a few others. And they did really, Double Down and Hop, and I thought, wow, this is really good. Very 70s, but like kind of in a tongue-in-cheek way. Not in a darkness way.
No, not in a cartoonish caricature.
No. Although there is an element of cartoonish about it.
It's more of a pastiche.
Yeah, yeah. A parody.
A cross between Mud, Wizard, Slade and T-Rex.
Yeah, a tribute almost.
Exactly.
So we probably already talked about all that then. So that's their fourth single, and they just signed to Communion Records. So they're going up in the world, all buzzard, buzzard. And it's very catchy, isn't it? Very catchy.
Very catchy. It's tongue-in-cheek, and we need some things that aren't quite so serious.
Yeah, I think so.
It's almost like a Temples that don't take themselves too seriously.
Yeah, yeah. I never got into Temples, but, you know, I could see
I like the first album.
Quite psychedelic, aren't they? Poppy.
I think that's going to be on my gravestone, actually. I like the first album.
I like the first album. I know what you mean. Although, I like the demos is always quite a fun one. But you don't really get demos now, do you? It just goes straight out, doesn't it? So,
yeah, the cool thing to say is that, you know, whatever people say, that's not, I'm not, he's shit. But the demos of I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor is ace.
Well, yeah, those are one of the demos I got sent. And you could tell they were going to be a big band, you know. You could tell.
Yeah.
I think about five labels were trying to sign the Arctic Monkeys. And then another one was the Maccabees. I actually liked their early stuff. Yeah. And then when they actually did an album, I wasn't actually that keen on it by the time they did an album. It's funny, really.
Oh, really? Oh, I love Colour It In. I think that's a brilliant album. See, I really like
I did think it was good, but it's one of those things where you get involved with, like, the early self-release singles or the demos. And then when you actually hear the album, you're like, what have they done to it?
You're like that with Fontaine's DC.
Yeah, Fontaine's DC, yeah.
Did you ever
Checklist Reckless, the original single, I just thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
But the version on the album is just like a bit...
Yeah, you should watch the that new documentary. It's about 25 minutes long, called... My memory is terrible.
About Fontaine's DC.
Yeah, and it's basically about from early 2018, where they're still writing it, because Green is writing, demoing television screen. And then it goes through when they start doing stuff with Dan Carey and what they do, because apparently they recorded literally in one go. So if someone cocks something up,
because they wanted
the feel, they had to record the album.
The live, the feel. I suppose they just like that sound that they had on the original singles, but I don't know.
Well, that Darklands version, sort of EP thing that they released just before Christmas, when they were being named Album of the Year by all and sundry, including me. That had all the original Darklands, but then two new songs that they recorded. Is it a studio Darklands? I suppose it must be.
Yeah. There was a Jesus and Mary Chain album called Darklands. So.
It must be something like that then. Yeah, but there, you should listen to that. I think that might be available online now, but version.
I do like them. Don't get me wrong. I just felt like the album was a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, no.
It was good. It was still good. It was just like, you know, when you're used to hearing something a certain way and then you hear it a different way, you're like, I am anyway. That's just me.
So we've got.
And also, I kind of go off things when everyone's raving about it sometimes, you know. But I'm sort of moving on to the next thing of a band you've never even heard of, kind of thing. I suppose.
Well, yeah.
Because that kind of, like, interests me more sometimes. But there you go. If something's good, then I will. Anyway, what are we going to go for next? Brigitte.
Did we write Buzzard, Buzzard, Buzzard?
Ah, yeah. You keep reminding me. You keep me in check, mate. You keep me in check.
I'm gonna break ranks and say eight.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because it's one of those songs that's kind of grown on me. And when I first heard it, I was like, oh, that's quite, you know, tongue-in-cheek little ditty, you know. But I didn't really like the inference that, you know, John Lennon was his Jesus Christ. But then when I read the explanation, I was like, actually, yeah, that's a really good song, you know. So I'll go along with you. I'll go for an 8 with that one, yeah. I'll go with you. So could be our highest score.
Could be the winner.
I could be the winner so far. We'll see. We'll go for a bit of Birgitta Alida with Past. You're almost there. While I'm still here, hoping that I'll find a way to change your mind.
Take out the vocal and you've got what sounds a bit like something off the most recent Michael Kiwanuka as well.
Yeah,
it's kind of
maybe.
Got that soul-y, jazzy vibe.
Yeah,
a bit,
I can hear
in
that
a kind of more interesting way.
It's about many things such as love, loneliness, hope, dreams, confusion, anxiety, desire. So it's kind of, you know, I think there's a kind of a love theme on it, to be honest, mate.
A longing.
From what she said, yeah, it's kind of like trying to grasp onto those kind of like good times, you know.
And it's got a fade out. You don't get fade out.
Yeah, really. That surprised me as well.
Really, do you?
Melody's Echo Chamber was another one who's mentioned. She's also a fan of ABBA, she said, when I spoke to her. But it sounds like this is very much like her first thing. This 60s kind of thing vibe is her first kind of
yeah,
thing, and then she's going to go on to a more of a pop thing, she was saying, or more, you know, she's gonna kind of like keep experimenting, she said anyway. So
cool.
It was interesting, wasn't it?
I like that.
She lives in Bergen, which is Norway.
Yeah.
And yeah, as I say,
it's remote. It's everything remote in Norway. It's yeah. Not
you get sort of a vibe of like, you know, mountains and landscapes and trees and forests, don't you, with that, I think, somehow.
Installations, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There is a kind of a soul thing on it. Yeah, you could almost replace her vocals and it'd be like a soul track, couldn't you, almost? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. I put Spectre-ish and widescreen, but breezy.
Yeah. not quite the Spectre brass wall of sound thing. But yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Anyway, what are you giving this?
I'm gonna stick to my guns here and go with 7.
I'm gonna go 7 as well, mate. Because it's probably I like this. I like her as an artist, but that's probably not my favourite song. But it's the most recent one, so.
I get the. It's a good taster for her. I'd like to check out more stuff.
So you've got one more, and I've got one more.
So it's me. So that must mean it's. Yeah, I'm trying to think of who it was then.
But it's
one of my favourite bands of the year, and that's another album that I've been living with for a couple of weeks now, and that's Porridge Radio, and this is Circling.
An epic waltz. It kind of builds into an epic waltz.
It's got a cyclical thing,
yeah.
Hence the name. But it's there is definitely a waltz thing. Especially the beginning has got a very kind of just a waltz sort of sound. But it's
they're really surprisingly, like, you know,
they are me.
I'm you know, sure, like, how good they are, really. But go on, you describe it first. Go on.
Well, I first heard of them when they were playing Visions Festival in London, and they were playing one of the small Shacklebolt Arms gigs, I think, or something like that. And they were, it was similar to this kind of thing, but not as, there wasn't quite the intensity. It was kind of a bit wistful. Although that's my memory of it. But this stuff, it's apparently been sat around for a little while. I heard her on the round table with Steve Lamacq a couple of weeks ago, and she was saying this has been ready for over a year, and it's just taken ages to, I think it might have been getting a label and everything. But this, but the first two singles off this album, first was Lilac, yeah, and then Sweet, are brilliant.
They are. Lilac's amazing, yeah.
Lilac is amazing. The way it ends, it's just, and what's one of the things about this band is that it's like they, I can't remember her name. I should have looked that up and I didn't.
I'll look now.
It's almost like there's an intensity that builds
Dana Margolin. Dana Margolin.
Sorry? Oh, okay. That builds and builds, and whereas a band would suddenly then go, oh, okay, we'll stop it there, she doesn't. She goes beyond. Taking it a step too far to almost chaos.
Yeah, but that's
what I really like about it. It goes too far.
I know what you mean, yeah. Yeah, it's almost, which is interesting, because like a lot of the sort of stuff we played, and probably like in indie pop and post-punk, a lot of it is very managed, isn't it? Whereas you feel like often there's a kind of a danger to what she's doing, and a kind of an emotion where she's pushing it and pushing it, you know?
It's, and I like that. It's kind of an emotion
that you get from it.
I mean, it's hard
to think of comparisons almost, because they don't really sound like anybody.
No.
But the only thing I could think of was Los Campesinos almost, you know?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
I mean, they've got here like Karen O, Charlie XCX and the Cranberries.
I don't get the Karen O thing at all.
No.
I kind of get the Cranberries a bit, but I think that's a bit of a short-haired lead singer sort of thing, which I think is a bit...
I think that's just what they like. They're just some of their influences.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if someone was trying to suggest that. Yeah, I'm not getting Cranberries, but yeah.
When I first heard them, which was the first one, Give and Take, they sound nothing like this. It was more as...
No, exactly. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's
almost like
very
poppy,
different,
punky, kind of post-punky thing. But like
you wonder if a small little song,
and then when they came out with the Lilac, it was like, wow, that's like incredible, really, you know. And so their album coming out soon is called Every Bad. I'd love to hear that, actually. Yeah. Is it out this week? It's out this week, isn't it?
It's out this Friday. Yeah.
Don't think I've been sent that.
I've got that.
Have you?
Got it. I think
send
one
it
of
over.
I
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah, I will. No, I think. Was it Lost and Over to Me? It comes through on, I think it's on SoundCloud, is it?
Oh, it's on there, is it?
No, maybe it's promo. Yeah, it's promo jukebox.
I'll have a look whether I've received it or not. Because I did tip them. I put them in the tips. So Porridge Radio from Brighton. It's a great name for a start. And they sort of developed into this, you know, sort of epic band, haven't they, really? I mean, it sounds like it was just... it says here that they were a sadcore bedroom project by Dana Margolin, and then they become this sort of four-piece now, and they're, becoming...
Yeah, you get the impression she's very much... I mean, like you said, from that first single, we'd be very kind of sort of poppy, but you feel like
The jump is just like, I don't know what happened
there. You get the feeling that something not good has happened to her.
Yeah.
There's been a split with someone, and it's very intense. And
or she's in the middle of a nervous breakdown or something, you know.
Something's happened,
but yeah.
Probably in a bad way, but also in a good way, because it's meant some brilliant music has been being produced. And the album is excellent.
Yeah, it's called Every Bad, so maybe you're right. Maybe it is like...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's... I don't know what you compare it to be honest, mate. Which is always a good sign for a band, you know.
Well, exactly. If you're that original, you can't think of some really obvious
generic comparisons that we've been wheeling out during this podcast.
Exactly, yeah. The post-punk.
Really, how do you define post-punk? Because post-punk wasn't meant to be defined, was it?
No, exactly.
There is now a definition of it in terms of the shouty post-punk thing. But they kind of askew that, don't they? It's kind of like almost like an epic. It's like they've got these songs like Lilac, Sweet, and this one that kind of like gather up into this epic. They end up, they start quite small, and then they end up in these like massive, you know, crescendos, don't they?
Yeah.
And you can imagine that's really good live.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. They've just recently released a load of dates. I'm hoping to get to one of those. They're all over the place. I think they're doing Cardiff. They're definitely doing London. That's all they were doing. But
yeah, they've got quite a few coming up.
You feel like Circling is probably quite a... it's almost like a bit more of a... Not mainstream or poppy, but probably a little bit more accessible. Whereas like Sweet... Although Sweet is very immediate, it's quite... it's one of those ones that you might... not love if you're less into your sort of quite sort of hard edge, almost grungy, because it's very much has got that big epic sort of guitar sound after a quiet bit. So it's a lazy definition, but you know, sort of grungy. Whereas that's kind of very, you know, waltzy.
I wonder what her influences are. Obviously, there's probably a punk influence. And it's probably like an indie influence, but and maybe there's like an American college, you know, sound influence, you know.
Yeah, you get the thing that maybe it's so many different influences.
Yeah,
she's listened to so much
a melting pot. It's
all just become this now, rather than actually having discernible influences that you could really sort of pin to.
Which is always the best thing. If a band you can't pinpoint their influences, that means very they're defining themselves, which is always what you're looking for, isn't it, as a band, you know?
Yeah, for me this year it's going to be about Sorry and Porridge Radio.
Yeah,
it's going to take some beating.
So Porridge Radio and Circling, what are we giving it?
I think it's a 9.
Okay, I'm giving it 9 as well. Okay. So that's the winner probably, unless the last track can halt the march of the Porridge Radio. It's a bit more of a known quantity here. This is the first album in 6 years from I Break Horses on Bella Union. And this is the lead track. It's called Death Angel.
Oh, you run so slowly.
Death Angel was written in an attempt to connect with a close friend's suicide attempt. It also reflects on the increasing reports that suicide is leading cause of death among Generation Z, with the age group having more mental health issues than any other generation. So it's quite like a heavy subject, a weighty subject, you know. Which I didn't get when I first heard it, but it's good that it's got that kind of like depth as well.
Yeah.
I got kind of like Sinead O'Connor, early Sinead O'Connor, and obviously Cocteau Twins.
Yeah, I can definitely tell there's a bit of, Sinead O'Connor lyrics, vocals in there. And it was Lost Horizons is his collaborative thing.
Okay.
I feel like she might have even sung on this, but maybe she didn't. Because obviously he pulled
maybe she has.
artists from Bohemia. Yeah. So
what's that other one? Susan Sudafor. She's done a lot with M83. So there is a lot of collaborations in Scandinavia, I find. But yeah, it just really haunted me, that song. I was just watching the video.
I bet I haven't looked at the video yet, but I bet that's pretty and sort of quite evocative.
No, it's quite dark and mysterious. And kind of, yeah.
Okay.
But I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But she's kind of like a one-man band almost.
Oh, okay. She does it all herself.
Her name's Maria Linden. And they're from Sweden, another Swedish, from Stockholm.
Oh, okay. I'm just having a look at those guest singers on that album. There's going to be a new one this year, but the album from 2000, and I think it must have been 18. I can't find a date now, but Ojala, O-J-A-L-A.
Oh, yeah, I think I've heard the name of it.
Marisa Nadler, Midlakes frontman Tim Smith.
Marisa Nadler, she's brilliant.
Yeah. Cameron Neal from Horse Thief, Leela Moss of Duke Spirit, Ghost Poet, Beth Cannon. So yeah, there's a lot of people on that. There's going to be a new one as well. I say again, there's another one I heard on Round Table. He was on it again quite recently. He was discussing it, and there was loads of names, and which obviously I've completely forgotten a million seconds after listening to it. But it just sounds like someone that she might even be on the new.
Yeah, possibly.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, it's very cinematic. It is.
Very, yeah.
And it's kind of built on synthesizers and drum machine kind of sound, you know. It is quite early 90s, late 80s kind of sound, but produced kind of for now, you know. And I mentioned M83. They toured with M83. They supported them.
Oh, okay.
So I think they're one of those bands, though, they're kind of like being underrated. But I'm quite eager to hear the album, because like the two tracks I've heard are amazing, so... there was another single, I'll Be the Death of You. So, But I thought this would be a good ender, because it is kind of like quite haunting.
It
does go on a little bit. It's 7 minutes. It's quite an epic. But I suppose when you enjoy a song like I enjoyed this a lot, I don't mind it being that long, but.
No.
I guess for this kind of purpose, I can see.
So we'll just have it played underneath us talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fine, you know. So what were your thoughts on it, apart from the vocalist?
Say, it's very, very sort of evocative of... I say, you said it was quite a dark video, but it was almost another one of those ones where it's another sort of, you know, isolating, you know, spatial...
Yeah.
Almost like, yeah, so you can sort of think of wide open spaces, but that kind of synth sound that's very big and sort of almost like arcing, and you can have a kind of visual or physical thing where, these sort of thing automatically, you start thinking of something, or even like a sea view or something like that. I often quite often see things, it's this sort of thing, you know, you have your bugs on, you don't necessarily suddenly think, oh, well, I wonder what that's about, or, you know, where that was, or where that's meant to have been. You know, it's kicking a can down the street or something like that, but, you know, you're not going to see it. You know, but this sort of thing is very... So, yeah, cinematic's a good word for it.
So the album comes out on Bella Union. It's their third album. It's out in May. I've got a friend who I mentioned Bride Break Horses to, and he said he'd listened to one of their other albums, and, like, one track was, like, much, much better than the rest of the album, but I'm yet to investigate as much of their previous stuff.
That catalog.
So I'll have to do that. But there's a lot of bands that are like that, and then you hear one song, and then it's like the album isn't quite as good. But I'm quite hopeful on this one. But I suppose that's my kind of like taste is this kind of stuff. So dream pop stuff is kind of my taste in a way. But then you know,
escapism.
I quite like a noisy thing as well. So But I suppose like you were saying about the Porridge Radio thing, I quite like the emotional thing, and this kind of gets me. Yeah, give me a good... When I listened to it, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Give me a good... It's just a voice and the kind of accompaniment. It just gave me... It was like a gut punch, you know.
Exactly. I think there are bands that will give you that emotional gut punch. And because a friend of mine, we were discussing the merit of Sorry, who is another fan of Sorry. And you're not going to necessarily get the emotional thing of it. It's more of a sleazy sort of nighttime drinking, maybe some narcotics, dodgy people. But whereas he gets that from someone like Desperate Journalist, who does provide that sort of emotional gap.
Yes,
lyrics. Whereas sorry, singing about going home with a faded rock star, or, you know, someone, a drunk, or, you know, a person who thinks they're bigger and better than they are in a bar or something like that. Whereas, you know, in emotive context, subject is going to be, you're not going to be able to sing those lyrics to something like that.
Yeah, so, maybe it is more of a nice, maybe it is more of like a headphones moment than a, but I don't know what they're like live. You know, they might be more noisy live. That might just be the track they chose to
introduce.
Yeah.
You know. Well,
if it's kind of that dream pop thing, but
there've been a few albums as well. You said,
yeah, yeah, this is their third now.
Yeah,
but yeah, you could tell she's like, apparently she's kind of like a one woman band. You know, she or she works with one other guy and she kind of just creates this stuff in her bedroom almost, which is quite impressive when you hear it like that.
Yeah,
because it sounds like it's in a sort of a really expensive studio, doesn't it? It sounds like that, which I suppose is the wonder of modern technology now.
Exactly.
I'd give that one an 8, so...
Yeah, I'll go with 8.
So we had a winner, which was Porridge Radio, wasn't it?
I think so.
Which had a 9, wasn't it?
Yeah, did someone else get
circling?
A
yeah, Buzzard had an 8, I think, between the two of us, was the other one.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, cool. And I Break Horses, so those were the top three, I think. But they were all good. They were all good tunes.
When we go back, we'm sure we'll discover that. we'll just say now... That was definitely both of our favourites. So.
Yeah, that was my favourite. Porridge Radio.
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a God Is In The TV recommend show. Check out more on godisinthetvzine.co.uk or on our Twitter page, God Is In The TV. We're also on Facebook at God Is In The TV Zine with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time. Ta-da.